So today's the first Sunday in December. It's the Christmas season. And as we kick off the Christmas season, we're starting something that we're simply calling Lit. I think it makes sense in this season. December is the darkest month of the year. And there are a lot of things that you see getting lit in this season. There are a lot of yards that are getting lit, houses getting lit, Christmas lights going up on houses and displays and windows and streets all around the city and all around our neighborhoods. There are candles getting lit. For Christmas Eve this year, I'm really happy to announce that we will have real candles for our services in person. For the last five Christmases while we've been at the school, we've had to use glow sticks because the school has frowned upon that many open flames in their gym. And so this year, there will be a lot of candles getting lit in our in-person Christmas gatherings. If you go to family gatherings in this season, you're likely to see a lot of people getting lit, but that's probably another topic for another day altogether. Well, if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, it's the first book in the New Testament, and if you look in Matthew chapter 5, you find the very first time that Jesus ever gathered with a large group of people. And it says that Jesus gathered with a group of people up on a hillside near the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel, and he started to teach what's now known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to instruct the people about the values of the kingdom of God. He says this. He starts in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers. We need some of those in our world today, for they will be called children of God. And he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then if you skip down a few verses to verse 14, in his first gathering with his followers up on a hillside, listen to what Jesus says. I feel like maybe this is taking on some new significance for us as a church this year. He says this, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." I love where our new building sits. Our new building sits on a hill overlooking an intersection. And when we chose the land where we wanted to build a building, we chose an intersection on purpose. We sit at the intersection of Nashville and Nolensville and Brentwood and Antioch and Smyrna. We're at the intersection of three counties, Davidson County and Williamson County and Rutherford County. And if the city of Nashville, here's what I want to say, if the city of Nashville is going to be lit up, if the town of Nolensville is going to be lit up, if Antioch or Smyrna or Brentwood or Franklin or wherever you live are going to be lit up, if the world is going to be lit this Christmas, it's going to be because we are the ones who light it up. Right? If this world is going to see and know the love of God and the glory of God, it's going to be through you and me being lit up. You are God's plan to light up the world. And as far as I know, as far as I can tell, there is no plan B. Christmas is the celebration of the arrival of true light into the world. It's one of the oldest things that's attributed to the celebration of Christmas. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah looks to a time in the future and he predicts the arrival of this light. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah says this, familiar words around Christmas. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And he goes on to say, For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Jesus himself in the Gospel of John, he says this to his followers, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then right here in Matthew, the first time that Jesus gathers a crowd up on a hillside, He says, you are the light of the world. In other words, Jesus says that if his light is going to shine in a dark world, it's going to be through you. You are the light of the world. Now, there are a few things that are true about light. There are a few things that are true about being the light of the world. The first thing that's true about light, and maybe this is stating the obvious, but I like to do that sometimes, but it's simply this: light is meant to be seen. Jesus is clear about this. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. If you think about it, in the time of Jesus, light in the darkness was a rare commodity, right? You couldn't just walk into your house and flip on a switch. You couldn't just pull your phone out of your pocket and flip on the flashlight. The streets weren't lit up with street lights and porch lights and during the season, Christmas lights. So once the sun went down, the world went dark. And light was a rare commodity. Now, in 2021, we've got all kinds of electric lights and devices, and some of us literally have light in our faces from the time we get up in the morning and we roll over and pick up our phone and check our email to the moment we put our phone down at night. There's light everywhere. But here's the thing. Even though we've got all the electric lights we could ever want at our disposal, the light of Jesus can sometimes be a rare commodity as well. And if we want people to experience the true light that leads to life, if we want the world to be lit up with that kind of light, it's going to be through us as the church. Our light is meant to be seen. Our faith is meant to be a bright light to other people. I don't remember who said this, but I once heard somebody say, there can be no such thing as secret faith, for either the secrecy destroys the faith or the faith destroys the secrecy. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, you are the light of the church. He says, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Our light isn't only meant to be seen within a certain building or only with a certain group of people. If anything, it should be even more visible just in the ordinary things we do in the world. Our light should be visible in how we treat a retail worker during the holidays, right? I've worked in retail during the holidays. Christians don't always shine at the mall. Our light should be visible in the way we order food at a restaurant and in the way we tip. I've got several friends who work in the restaurant business, and they tell me that among servers, Sundays are the worst days to work for lunch because that's when the Christians come in, and Christians are cranky and they don't tip well, right? We should be the kindest customers and the biggest tippers on the planet. Our light should be visible in what we do at school. It should be visible in how we treat our coworkers. It should be visible in how we treat our employees and even in how we treat our bosses. Our light is meant to be seen. The second thing that's true about light is that light is a guide. Light is a guide. Jesus says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before others that they may see. One of the things I like most about the Christmas season is that my street is much brighter because of all of the Christmas lights. We actually don't have any street lights on our street. It had something to do with a mistake that the developer made in our section of the neighborhood. And so our street is dark during the rest of the year. And it's so much easier to see to be able to walk and to be able to drive at night when the street is lit up. Right? In the same way, people of faith, we can serve as a guide and an example that helps light the pathway for other people. The truth is, not everybody in the world has the strength and courage to take a stand for something by themselves or to step out to take the initiative for something good in the world. But most people, I believe most people will follow if somebody else leads the way. The world needs people who are willing to be guiding lights for good, right? There are people who are waiting for someone. People, you know, they're waiting for someone to lead the way toward things that are right and things that are good. And if we're the light of the world, as Jesus says, we can be those guiding lights. The third thing I want to say, and this is not necessarily true about light, but it's a true and important reminder about us. And it's simply this: we're in the lighting business, not the heating business. We're in the lighting business, not the heating business. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you are the heat of the world. Listen, I know a lot of people, I know you probably do too, who think their calling in life is to just burn it all down. Right? There are a lot of Christians who think their role in the world is to condemn everybody to hell. There are a lot of people who think that their life's calling is to burn it all down in every conversation or every comment thread on the internet. But we're supposed to be in the lighting business, not in the heating business. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus says. Now, as a church, there are a couple tangible ways that we want to try to be the light together this month, December 2021. The first thing is happening in 2 weeks. It's called Scent Sunday. And on Scent Sunday, we won't have our normal services, but instead we'll meet at our building and we're going to pack and then we're going to deliver food for 200 families in our community. It's one of my favorite days of the year and it's a tangible opportunity for us to be the light. One quick story from a couple years ago on our Scent Sunday Christmas edition. We had Scent Sunday at the school. We had a family take the food. It's usually about 4 boxes worth of food that we deliver to the families. And so they took the food to the family on their list. And for some reason, the family receiving the food hadn't received the notice that we were delivering food to them. And so our volunteers knocked on the door. And when they opened the door and saw what was happening, when the people there opened the door and they realized what was happening, their eyes filled with tears. And they told our volunteers that in that very moment, they'd been sitting in their living room praying for God to provide them food. And then in that moment, there was a knock on the door. That was light in the darkness. So you can sign up to be part of that by going to thevillagenashville.com/ScentSunday. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. The second way we're going to try to be light this season is through our annual Christmas Eve offering. Every year, we give away 100% of our Christmas and Easter offerings to organizations locally and around the world. And this year, I'm excited to announce that our Christmas Eve offering is going to an organization called Tucker's House. I want you to check out this video to learn more about what Tucker's House is all about.
My grandson has cerebral palsy. He does not walk or talk. And when he was 3 and a half, it became very apparent to me that my own daughter-in-law and son needed some modifications to their home. So I started looking in the community to see if there was a nonprofit out there that helps families that have children with disabilities to make their homes wheelchair accessible and safer. And I found absolutely nothing. So that's why I started Tucker's House. He was 3 and a half years old. He's 15 years old now, so it's been a long road.
We have a daughter named Michaela, and Tucker's House actually came out and did a home project for us. They helped do a ramp and accessible bed. Unfortunately, Michaela passed away in 2018, but I just stayed in touch with the organization. Sonny was looking to hand off the reins to someone. I came to mind. So that's kind of how I learned about Tucker's House, and I've stayed involved with Tucker's House.
What is so unique about what Tucker's House does is it's that partnering of a therapist's vision who understands the child's limitations and abilities and what their future limitations and abilities will be, and then the architectural designer, and marrying those two viewpoints to look at the home environment as well as the client to be sure that the modifications are meeting that need.
I love that the impact that we make to serves the lifetime of that family. This is not a Band-Aid solution. I know firsthand that the projects that we do, that is going to touch that family every day. And so that's what really makes it impactful for me.
This never felt like home before. It was somewhere I lived. I wanted to create a peaceful atmosphere, but it just wasn't that. My youngest grandchild that lives with me has cerebral palsy, epilepsy. And she's 3 now. Some of the challenges we had was, one, the main one was the floor. one area would be flat, the next area would go a different way. It was like drops and bounds, and then whoever did the flooring before, it was nailed down, so nails were starting to come up, so couldn't really let her be down on the floor. Another challenge is bath time, because the bathing chair that we had for her, she was terrified. And then one day I was talking to my sister, and she was like, "Those are the people you need to call right there. I know Sunny." The first time we walked through the door and I seen the walls, it just, a different feeling. It was like a calming effect. The biggest difference that Tucker's House has made in my life is being able to see Caitlin down on the floor and not have to worry about nails. And now she's trying to raise herself up some, so she's a lot more mobile and independent. And then just realizing that there are a lot of good people out there. I'm very grateful, not just me, my daughter Caitlin, my grandkids actually enjoy being here. My grandmother used to tell me that it takes a village to make a family and to have a home, and that just really makes it that much more special. I definitely recommend Tucker's House to anybody who has a special needs child.
I've been really impressed with Tucker's House and the work that it does. It's why I wanted to serve on the board, because of the need that it fills in the community and to help these children and help these families.
The owner of Hiller, Jimmy Hiller, has a fundamental belief that nobody in this world really should go without heating, cooling, electrical, or plumbing. It seemed like a natural fit for us to pair up with an organization like Tucker's House.
Families of any socioeconomic background can benefit from the services that Tucker's House is able to provide.
And just, you know, seeing smiling faces and seeing the good that comes from something like this is really very strong.
When I started Tucker's House, I didn't know where it was going to go. But what I've realized that it is a legacy for Tucker, but it's also a legacy for all the children we serve. It's been these families and these children all along the way who have taught us what this community needs.
I love to be able to give back to the families that we serve. I see my daughter in the faces of the families that we serve, just to feel like I get to bring her along to each project, every day to work. I even have this little band that I wear with her name around it. I bring her along, and so it's just a joy to work at Tucker's House, and we just have a great team.
Did you catch that in the video? She said, "It takes a village to make a family, to make a home." What do you say we be the village? What do you say? It costs roughly $20,000 to provide a full renovation for a family through Tucker's House. And we want to set a goal for our Christmas Eve offering of $40,000 to provide at least two renovations for them in 2022. So if you feel led to give to that today, you can give that to that today. And in leading up to Christmas Eve, on our online giving portal, thevillagenashville.com/give, you can just pull down Christmas Eve in the drop-down menu, and 100% of that will go to be the light for a family who needs to see the light this season. Listen, I imagine some of us might be here thinking, you might be where you are thinking, I don't really have much light to shine, right? My batteries are kind of low. My bulb is burnt out. Maybe you're just thinking, I'm not that bright, so this is probably meant for somebody else. It reminds me, back when I was younger and a little dumber, I went on a spelunking expedition with some teenagers where I had to crawl into a hole in front of me and put my arms out in front of me and kind of wiggle in order to get through this tiny little passage. I think they called it the eye of the needle or something clever like that, that really, really should have communicated to me that it was a bad idea. But I just thought they were exaggerating, so no big deal. I went ahead with it. And when we got to that little passage, there wasn't enough room to crawl. You literally had to go in head first and kind of lie down and wiggle yourself through this little passage and around a turn in order to get through to the other side. There were probably 30 or 40 of us doing this, and I was the leader, so I couldn't chicken out. I will say that I've never taken another group to that place again, and thinking about it right now, it kind of makes my palms sweat, and my feet sweat, my body, you know, I didn't like it. It wasn't good. I probably won't go back and do that. So, well, we almost all got through to the other side. Only lost a couple of the kids that day. No big deal. That was a joke. That was a joke, by the way. So we all had our headlamps on, and after we each wiggled through, we ended up in this pretty good-sized room in the cave where we could all sit down. There was room for all of us to sit down. And once we all got in the room, the expedition leader asked all of us to turn off our headlamps. And when we did, it was the darkest darkness I'd ever experienced in my life. I mean, there was zero light in the room. I couldn't even see my hand in front of my face. I couldn't see my nose in front of my face. I mean, it was just pitch black. And so we sat in silence for a couple minutes. And after a couple minutes, we still couldn't see anything. Our eyes didn't even adjust enough to be able to see anything. And our leader said quietly, "Hey, in just a minute, I'm going to turn on my watch. And I want you to see what happens." She had this old, I think it was a Casio digital watch. Some of you remember those. And she pressed the button to turn on the light on the display. And in the darkness of the cave, that thing shone like a star. I mean, I was amazed. We were all so amazed at the brightness of a dinky little watch display in total darkness. And we just stared at it. And after a few minutes of looking and showing everybody her watch light, our guide said, "Never underestimate the power of a single source of light. Never underestimate the power of a single source of light." Now, when you hear Jesus say the words, "You are the light of the world," I don't know how that strikes you. Right? Some of you might feel like you're a spotlight beaming for the whole world to see. But I'd venture to guess that more of us feel like we might be a dinky little Casio watch light on a good day. Or like a little pocket flashlight that's almost out of battery power. But I want to say the same thing to you today. Never underestimate the power of a single source of light, right? Never underestimate the power of one kind word. Never underestimate the power of a simple act of generosity, just giving whatever it is that you have. Never underestimate the power of a small act of service. Right? The vision of Jesus for the church is that we would be missed if we weren't here. The vision of Jesus for his people is that you would be missed if you weren't there, that your neighborhood would be a little darker if you weren't there, that your school would be a little darker if you weren't there, that where you work would be a little darker if you weren't there. We are here to light up our neighborhood with the light and the life and the love of Jesus. And you are there, you are where you are to light up yours. Never underestimate the power of a single source of light. So for all of us, are you living life and are you shining light in a way that if you weren't there, the world would be a little bit darker? Because the world needs light. Jesus is the source of light and you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I want us to pray this morning. Will you join me in prayer? God, we live in a time, in a season where sometimes it feels like there is a lot of darkness around us. There is uncertainty, there's incivility, there's division, there's divisiveness, there's hatred, there's anger. But God, you call us to be something different. You call us to be the light of the world. So God, this December, I pray that your light would shine in each and every one of us. God, I pray that you would give us opportunity to say a kind word and that we'd take that opportunity. God, I pray that you would give us opportunity to do something generous and that we would take that opportunity. God, I pray that you would give us the opportunity to do something selfless, to perform an act of service. And when given that opportunity, we would take that opportunity. God, help us to shine whatever light it is that we have. God, we pray especially today for our Scent Sunday, that it would be a source of light for people who need it. God, we pray for our friends at Tucker's House. And we pray that we might be a source of light for some families in our community who need it. God, shine in us, shine through us. We thank you for the light of life that you've given us in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.